Morning. The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25. I'm reading the pastor's part. One moment, please. And so we begin again. The first lesson is found in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 18. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 25, verse 1 through 10. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them in his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. The word of the Lord. And now the second lesson is found in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
As you are aware, our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothing, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense that you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Good Shepherd. I think we can do a little better than that. Good morning, Good Shepherd. There we go. Okay, yeah, you're awake. Good. I am too. It is a beautiful morning. Sun is shining. The heat is a little bit high, but guess what? You're all in a beautiful air-conditioned environment. I hope those of you that are worshiping with us online also are able to stay cool, but it is good to be in God's presence. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a chance to be in your presence. We thank you for a chance to be in your house. We thank you for the chance to be in your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that through the reading of your word, that we would come to know how to love others as you love, to care for our neighbors as you've instructed us, how you've called us, how you've invited us. We pray these things in your holy and mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series of loving others, kind of this part two of our summer series, Loving God, Loving Others. In August, we will start to looking at make disciples. As a congregation, we are called, this is our mission, this is our strategy, our intentionality is to love God, to love others, and make disciples. As we are continuing, I want to remind you of something that you will have heard, and I hope you believe, and I hope you know it to be true, and that is the most important thing about you is that God loves you. And if you really believe that and understand that and encounter that in his word and encounter that with that truth, that reality as you walk with Jesus, believe it for your neighbor, that the love that he has for you is the same that he has for others. Last week, Pastor Rick did a beautiful job starting this series of conversations about loving others by inviting us to see how Jesus loved. How Jesus loved when people were grieving. How Jesus loved when people doubted. How Jesus loved when people failed. Different points in our lives, we all find ourselves in all of those places. And knowing that Jesus' love for us does not run dry. He does not turn away. He does not abandon us. He is for us, not against us. Now, as we continue this morning, there's something familiar about this morning's passages. Something familiar about our time in God's Word in Luke chapter 10. About the Good Samaritan. It is probably for many a passage that has a lot of familiarity. Much like a wonderful meal, comfort food. I hope that this morning's message is like comfort food. For me, comfort food would be Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey and ham. Mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing. Green bean casserole, not hot dish, casserole. Wonderful rolls. Oh, just not only is the meal comfort food, but the people that you spend it with. It is so comfortable. So I would invite us, as we get into God's Word, to get comfortable. But I am going to invite you to consider, to look forward to dessert. For me, that Thanksgiving meal at my grandparents' house, my grandma was spectacular with dessert. And I remember one dessert in particular that always caught my attention. And that was this epic, truly unforgettable chocolate mousse. Oh. Just to even think about it, it just kind of turns me into Homer Simpson. As we spend time in God's Word, I pray that we would be comfortable, but we would be challenged, and that we would transform a question this morning. But as we begin, what I would like you to do is take out your phone or a piece of paper and just go with your gut. I want you to, like 10, 15 seconds, I want you to just write down the name of three neighbors. Three neighbors. When I say neighbor, just go with what you think. Three neighbors that are in your life, three people that the Lord has placed on your mind, and we're just going to put a pin in that. So you've got these three names, three people or families, three neighbors that you're considering. And now I want you to consider or hear just a brief story of someone else that has challenged us in our culture, in our world, to think about neighbors. A man that was born almost 100 years ago, in 1928, a man that was born eventually became a television host, an author, a puppeteer, and an ordained Presbyterian minister. He earned a bachelor's degree in music from Rollins College in 1951, went on to attend the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, and was ordained in 1963. However, he began his television career in 1953 with a local television program on a Pittsburgh station for children called The Children's Corner. Many of us would recognize, if you don't already, with the little tidbits that I've given you, in 1968, the national version of Mr. Rogers. 1968, and he invited us to consider, won't you be my neighbor? As we encounter, as we get into God's Word this morning, we are considering that same idea of who's our neighbor. It's a natural question to ask. We're here in Leviticus chapter 19 as God is establishing His people. He has established the people of Israel. His heart's desire is that all of humanity would be in right relationship with Him, and He is using the people of Israel to bring all of humanity into right relationship with Him. Now, that right relationship is full of boundaries, full of law, full of guidelines, full of structure, because God loves us, wants the best for us. But in here in Leviticus 19, we hear this passage that gets us thinking about loving our neighbor. The end of the passage considers and challenges, love your neighbor as yourself. But we see God's heart in what He is communicating to the people of Israel, and He's raising the bar. He was raising the bar for the Israelites in comparison to all the cultures and communities around them, the expectation of the treatment of others and the care that was offered was higher, was more than what the rest of the world expected from people. God's desire, His expectation was higher. And here, right out of the gate, and verses 9 and following. When you are gathering from your fields, don't go over it a second time. Don't collect all the way to the edges, but rather leave for the poor and the foreigner. Right out of the gates, we're seeing God's heart on display in that He is longing for the care of all of humanity. In that day, in that time, everything was very tribal. Here, yes, we have the 12 tribes, and His invitation for them to consider what it is to be a neighbor isn't limited to be, okay, well, look after just this group. This is your responsibility. This tribe, you guys look after your responsibility. But rather, it was all of humanity God's heart was for. But to do that, we hear five different times the emphasis of, in nine verses, I am the Lord. It's as though he's reminding them and reminding us that he is the center. He is the one that is being seen by the rest of the world when we are loving our neighbors. When we don't lie, when we don't take advantage of, when we don't cast out the foreigner, when we follow God's commands and walk in obedience to his will, purpose, and plan, the world sees God. But when we walk in disobedience, we're telling a story as well. His expectation is high, but with that high expectation comes amazing things. In Leviticus 19, we see God's heart on display in the ways in which he wants us to treat each other. Don't lie, don't deceive each other, don't defraud one another, don't hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. I'm particularly fond of the one that says, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind individual. That just seems mean, doesn't it? Well, don't be mean then. It's our invitation to love our neighbor, but now to understand and ask this natural question, who is our neighbor? Let's unpack just briefly the Hebrew understanding of neighbor. The word is ria. It is not like in our language, our understanding, our experience, where we might think of our neighbor as someone that is geographically close to us. Oh, well, I live in a neighborhood just down the street. And my neighbors, we exchange Christmas gifts every Christmas. We go around to our immediate neighbors. Those that live in our cul-de-sac will exchange Christmas gifts. Those are my neighbors. But the Hebrew understanding and God's heart is far beyond geographical proximity. For the Hebrews, the meaning of the word was companion, friend, associate. In other verses, and as the Jewish people moved forward, it was about the foreigners. It was about the strangers. It was about including the outcast and the broken and the disenfranchised. Rhea, our neighbor, according to God's heart, is his people, his beloved. And we're invited, challenged, commanded to love our neighbor, our Rhea, as ourselves. To love as Jesus has loved. This is so on the minds of the Israelite people that it carries forward, and we encounter it yet again in our gospel passage. And the teacher of the law in Luke chapter 10 decides to step in, and he's intending to try to cause Jesus to stumble. And he's like, ha, here's the way I'm going to trap him in his own words. I'm going to ask him the question that's at the heart of our people. What must I do, Jesus, to be saved? And he, the expert of the law, thinks he's in charge of the conversation. He thinks he's leading the way, but we quickly see how Jesus takes over. And he turns it back on him and says, well, what does the law say? How would you read it? And in his reply back to him, he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. You would think, story over. But the expert of the law is looking to justify himself, and he is still asking the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? In other words, he's really starting to ask, what's the bare minimum? What is the least that I have to do? If you are telling me to love my neighbor, he's not really looking at it in terms of Rhea, those, the foreigner, the outcast, the friends, the associates, those in my tribe and outside of my tribe. He's looking for the bare minimum of what he must do. And then we encounter the comfort food. We encounter the passage that is probably familiar, but I'm going to entice you with the dessert that comes at the end. He asks the question, who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, well, let me tell you this parable. There was a man All that we know about this man is he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's on this road. And what we know about him is that he is attacked. And we know historically that this road had a tendency to be a dangerous road to be upon. But in this moment, in this parable, in this story, Jesus leaves us with a man who has been attacked, who he's had everything stripped from him, and left wounded and half dead. A whole other sermon could come from the priest and the Levite who passed by on the other side. But we're not going to camp out there. We're not going to focus on them at this moment other than to say they missed an opportunity. And we don't know why. Maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe, like all of us, they had places to go, things to do, and they weren't willing to pay the cost, take the time. But maybe they were also afraid, well, I don't know what to do. What do I have to bring? What do I have to offer? I'm not equipped for this. And maybe they were so busy with, well, you know what? This man, he's basically dead. And the law is that if I touch a dead body, then I am ceremonially unclean and I can't go about doing the Lord's business then. But for whatever reason, they pass by on the other side. But then a Samaritan of all people, somebody who was not like the Pharisee, somebody who was on the outside, and intentionally in this story, Jesus is pointing it out, saying, someone that is different than you stopped. He took the time. He saw the man, knelt down, cared for him, poured oil and wine, tended to his wounds, probably had the dignity of covering his nakedness, clothed him, placed him upon his own donkey, got him to an inn, took care of him. And it says, the next day, so he spent an enormous amount of time caring for this wounded individual who we knew nothing about. With his clothing gone, all identifying markers were gone. We don't know what tribe he came from. We don't know what was his background. We don't know why he was traveling on the road, what he was about doing. Every piece of identification was gone. He was a stranger. And the Samaritan got down and cared for him, loaded him up on his own donkey and took him to the innkeeper, and then went so far as to give him money and said, I will return, and if there's additional expenses, I will pay you. This Samaritan paid a price. He paid a price, and it cost him. It cost him time. It cost him resources. It cost him energy. It cost him money. And it may have even cost him reputation. We don't know why he was traveling. We don't know what he missed out on. Maybe he had business. Maybe he was visiting family. Whatever it was, he was delayed and maybe missed those things. So he may have paid a price with his reputation. Jesus is raising the bar and inviting us to consider to love our neighbors. It may cost us something. Jesus brings the question back to, and here's where the dessert comes in. Jesus changes the question, and I want us to change the question this morning. Jesus says to him, which one of these was the neighbor? Do you remember the Pharisee asked the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus is saying, who acted neighborly? Who was the neighbor that cared for the man that was wounded? And that's the way in which we need to let the Lord change the question. We don't need to ask the question, who is our neighbor? However, we do need to understand that God's heart is for all of humanity, to draw all of humanity into right relationship with him. But he invites us to be the neighbor, recognizing that it might cost us something. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, as we just read, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his own life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If anyone has any material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Loving others, loving our neighbors, just might cost us something. It might cost us time. It might cost us money, resources, or reputation. But I would invite us to consider the prayer that you've already prayed as we began our service this morning. Heavenly Father, give us today the courage to stop. Heavenly Father, give us the courage to stop, the grace to reach out without counting the cost, and the compassion to care. Help us to be a true neighbor to everyone that we encounter. That's our invitation this morning. And let's make the rubber meet the road. Let us not just change the question and be intellectual in terms of thinking who our neighbor might be or how we can be neighborly. But now I want to invite you, go back to that list of three. Go back to that list of three neighbors that I invited you to write down at the beginning of our time. And now that we have changed the question a little bit, it's not who is your neighbor, but rather who we can be neighborly to, who we might be invited to stop and to care for and to spend time with, even if it costs us something. Does your list of three change? If so, make note of that. And here's the invitation for each and every one of us, and I am going to do the same, and that is spend the week praying for those three. Maybe it's three families, maybe it's three situations, maybe it's three individuals. But pray that the Lord would give you the opportunity to be neighborly, even if it costs you something. And that is how we love others, in the place where we know that God loves us. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for a chance to be in your house. And may we be people that love you well. And in our love for you, Lord, may we love others. May we truly, deeply, and dearly be neighborly, loving, caring. And may we count the cost, even if it's hard. We pray that you would equip us and strengthen us to serve because you care. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.